Welcome to the June 17th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, The Legacy of Dad. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families. And whether you're a member or a first-time guest, we welcome you to worship this day. We'd like to get a record of your attendance this morning. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We'd like for you, for members and guests alike, to take those and to fill them out. Put your name and address, guest, check the appropriate boxes. Members, we just ask that you put your full name and check the appropriate boxes and change any contact information that we need to know about. We are glad that you are here this morning. Several things going on in the life of our church. You will find these opportunities for the week printed on the back of your bulletin, so we invite you to pay attention to those. It is Father's Day, and we want to say a special welcome to all the dads and all the men in our church who show us God every day. And we appreciate the opportunity to come and to celebrate with you. And this is a special day to honor you. Because of that, we will not have any Sunday night activities so that we will let families have opportunity to be together. So there are no Sunday afternoon or evening activities today. Other things you'll notice, the summer schedule has started, including this Wednesday. We are starting our Wednesday night church-wide Bible study. It will be called In a Word. It'll be a DVD discussion series that you will not want to miss. This week, we're going to start it off with a bang. We need homemade ice cream for this Wednesday night. If you could call or see Trudy Elkins, please, about if you're able to make some homemade ice cream, that would be great. You will find on the welcome desk, as well as in the newsletter, a list for each week. We're doing something a little bit different each week, so check out the In a Word flyer on the welcome desk. Let's see. I want to recognize Mr. Roger Jones. Come on up.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
I like that response. Happy Father's Day to you. Well, Raymond, I saw in the newsletter that you were going to be talking about me today, the perfect father. And then I saw that he changed his mind, so I don't know what prompted that. Our sign-up sheets are down here in Smith Hall Hall. If you haven't signed up to go with us, you need to do so. Our allotted rooms are running out, so you need to get on that list as soon as you can. I noticed that we still need a refrigerator, and there are several items on the needs list. If you'll plug in on those and help us out, that would be deeply appreciated. You know, we actually leave here in 2 weeks to go to Kentucky to build that house. And Don is continuing to do a good job of getting our bus ready. We had several young people come by this week and helped us out, and I appreciate that. And now I need to tell you what the dollar amount is. I want to wear my smiling tie next Sunday, so y'all got to help me. We're at $20,487.98. That means we need $3,512.11, and if somebody wants to write a check for a portion or all of that today, we'd be happy to accept it. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. That is going to be a great trip for us to be together, going to Kentucky to work on the Mountain Outreach House. And let me remind all the youth that today was sign-up deadline for Mountain Outreach and Youth Camp. So, parents, if you never got that word, I'm giving it to you now. So, you will find Many other things are happening in the life of our church, including day camp, which began this past week, and we appreciate all the children that came out. There are still spots available if you want your children to be a part of that. We're a little bit over a month away from Vacation Bible School, and we have one teacher spot open for grade school, and so we are looking for that one spot. So if you're able to help us out with that, we would appreciate that. Lori Jackson would very much appreciate you if you could volunteer to help out with that. It's going to be a great time for a church-wide Vacation Bible School at the end of July. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this day. You have already given us your information. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They want to give you a little bit of information about College Park. You signed the pew pads and told us who you were. We want to tell you who we are. If you just raise your hand if you're a guest this morning, as the ushers come down the aisles and take one of these packets. Inside you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as a current newsletter and other information about the history and the story of our church. And we pray that this hour of worship will be a blessing to you. Thank you for coming to worship this morning. We begin worship each day, each Sunday morning, with an invitation to share in worship. This is our responsive reading that you will find printed in your bulletin. This morning's comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 13. I do want to remind the children we are having children's time after the first hymn, so if you guys can make your way down front to see me, that'd be great. Would you stand now for invitation to share in worship? I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.
Yours, O Lord, is greatness and power and glory and majesty and splendor.
For everything in heaven and earth is yours.
Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted and set over all.
Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things.
In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all.
Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Amen. You may be seated. Pray together. That is our job this day and every day, our Father, to praise your name. On this day when we pause to thank all the fathers and the men in our lives, we know that all the gifts that come through our fathers come from you, our Heavenly Father. Everything that we have learned from our dads, from our granddads, from our uncles, from our older brothers, our coaches, our teachers, all the things that we have learned from them have come from you. And so, Father, we pause to thank you for how you protect, how you guide, for who you are, as eternal, as powerful, and majestic, and perfect. And so, Father, we have come to worship. And worship is a verb. It's an action. It's something that we do, not something that we witness. So help us worship with everything we have today. for you are worthy. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on down. Have a seat. Have a seat. All right. Okay. Ooh, this is a bad spot. How about I sit right here? How about, no? Oh, I need to go this way. Any more kids? This way? Right here. Okay. Luke, can I sit right there? You slide. Everybody slide that way. All right. Y'all are so good on the fly. Okay, good. All right. How's everybody? It's summertime. You should be great. Did you go to the pool this week? You go to Carowinds?
Yeah, oh, oh. I went to the pool.
I see. I knew you were having a good week. Okay. Well, today is kind of a cool day. Is it fuzzy day?
No.
No. Why not?
It's always kids' day.
Oh, it's always kids' day. Yeah, that's pretty true.
It's Father's Day.
It's Father's Day. Okay. What are some things your dads maybe teach you, or what do they do with you?
Play baseball.
Play baseball. They do. I learned how to play baseball because of my dad. He taught me how to hit. Didn't teach me real well, but he taught me how to hit. Okay. Play baseball. What other sports? Basketball. Football. Soccer. Okay. All right. What else? What else does dads do for you? Christian?
Help you.
Oh, how did y'all know that? Because I just happen to have a tool to help you fix things. A hammer, right? Yeah, this is another thing my dad didn't teach me how to use real well. But, you know, but I've got like three in my toolbox. So having a hammer, what do you do with hammers?
if you like need a nail.
You can nail stuff in. You learn how to build things. Okay, that's other things dads do. Let me see. Oh, I've got some more stuff in here. Now, this is something, whenever I see one of these, it makes me think of my dad. What's this?
A cell phone.
See, one of the things that my dad did when he was, he sold a lot of these cell phones a long time ago. And whenever I have another cell phone or whenever I use this one, I think about my dad. And don't you have things that you think your dad do? What does your dad do at work? This is what my dad did for work. He sold these things. So let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Now this won't happen to y'all for a while, but what are these?
Keys.
They're car keys. And my dad taught me how to drive. And I remember all the things that he taught me when we were riding places. Do you go take rides with your dad? Yeah. And we talk a lot.
And we go to the grocery store.
Your dad goes to the grocery store?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to Burger King with him.
Okay, you go to Burger King. You go places in the car. Okay. So that's some things dad does. Here's one. What is this?
A ring.
He gets married to your mama. That's right. Hopefully before. And that's, my dad taught me how to be a husband. He always loved my mama. And I always wanted to be the best husband to my wife that I could be. Now, here's one more thing.
Bible.
What did dads teach us out of the Bible?
About God.
About God?
Jesus.
Yeah.
About stories?
There's a particular passage in Scripture. And, you know, some of you who were at day camp this week, some of you made these great Father's Day gifts. And we put in the middle of them this Scripture passage. And I want to read it to you. You listen to me? Okay. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You know, God has really blessed us, not only with your dads, but so many men in our church who teach us Sunday school, who coach our basketball teams, who teach us ultimately about how we are supposed to love God. That's what your dads want to teach you. That's what your granddads want to teach you. And today we're going to give a copy of some masterpieces that have this scripture to all the men in our church, because it's not only the dads, not only the granddads, they're really special, but we have a lot of men in our church who are our prayer partners, who look after us, who are always wanting the best for us. So we're going to pass these out to all the men in our church to let them know how thankful we are to them. Okay? Now I want you to make sure that when you go home today, you hug your dad and you tell him how much you love him. Can you do that for me? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to thank our dads. They give so much every day. They go to work every day and they work so hard. Father, we know that they want to protect us. They want to show us how to be boys and girls that you would be proud of. So, Father, we thank you for our dads, and we thank you ultimately for how you have been the best dad we could ever ask for. God, we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all go back to your seats now. Thank you.
As we share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture, I'll be reading first from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. Psalm 5. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Hear the Word of God. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. From the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, in the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 36 and continuing to the 8th chapter through the 3rd verse. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And also from the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, in the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 15. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, as a people gathered in Christ, and a people blessed to be nurtured by your Spirit, Lord, we honor you in worship today. Lord, we are thankful for your presence in this wonderful place, that we may gather with you and with fellow believers in this body of Christ. Lord, as we think about your presence as part of worship, we realize how much we need your presence today and each day of our lives. Lord, we pray that your presence will abide with us even more closely and allow us to walk more closely with you. Lord, many of us are struggling. Many of us are dealing with physical needs. Our bodies are hurting, Lord, and we're seeking to deal with that. Lord, we pray for your abiding presence and strength and comfort, for your arms to be wrapped so closely around us that even in our moments of weakness and pain and suffering, we feel you right beside us. Lord, thank you for being present with us. Lord, many among us are struggling with difficult decisions and pain and grief from our experiences. Lord, as we experience that pain and grief, on one hand, let us feel your presence and love and grace and mercy with us also. Let our eyes and hearts understand the ways that you are being glorified even in our tough times. Lord, help us to sustain and to stay encouraged and to grow through it because of your presence. Lord, many of us are struggling with some big issues in our own lives. What to commit ourselves to, what decisions to make, what calling and pathway to follow. Lord, be with us and help our pathways to be a little bit more clear. Help us to see the step in front of us, to realize what you would have us to do, and the ways that we can use the talents and the gifts and the abilities that you've blessed us with to serve others and to serve in your name. Lord, speak clearly to us and help us to know the ways that we can be all that you created us to be. Lord, in all these things and in all our needs, we pray not for what we want. We pray not for what we need. We pray for what you would have, your will in our lives. We pray for your abiding presence. We thank you for your love. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Stand, we pray. Thank you, God, for the glories of this day. Thank you for this church and these people who are gathered here to learn more about Thee and about each other. Help us to understand what You would have us to do as we attempt to follow Thy will. We know that You have told us that we should spread the gospel to all people, but sometimes we choose to limit those to whom we send the message. We know that we should give meat to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, take in strangers, visit the sick and those in prison, and we have difficulty doing all of these. On this day, we seek to honor the fathers among us and those whom we remember. Fathers in many, many ways. Those of us who are fathers ask particularly for Your guidance in this everlasting process. In all things, help us to be more like Thee. Amen.
Doctor had just finished his physical on this gentleman who'd come for his yearly physical, and the doctor came in and looked at him and said, "Sir, you're in terrible shape. Unless you do something pretty quickly, you're going to die. You're under too much stress. You're not eating right. You need to go home, tell your wife that she needs to start cooking more nutritious meals. You also need to tell her that she needs to keep the kids off your back so that you can relax more and get rid of some of that stress in your life. Then you need to tell her you're going to make a budget and she's going to have to stick to it. And if she'll do all of that, then you'll make a complete recovery. Otherwise, you'll be dead in a month." Well, obviously, this gentleman was a little bit shaken by that news. And he said, "Doc, do me a favor. Could you call my wife before I get home and give her those instructions?" And the doctor said, "I'd be glad to do that. No problem." And when he got home, the wife rushed up to the man and said, "I just talked to the doctor, honey. You poor man, you've only got 30 days, huh?" Yeah. Today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day for all of you dads who are out there. And let me wish you a happy Father's Day. A little boy was asked to explain Father's Day, and he said quite simply, "Well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the presents." So I don't send me cards. I'm just teasing. I just that the whole thing with Father's Day is interesting. I was asking Don before we came in, just trying to do a comparison, because in years past when we've done a comparison, there's always so many more people in church on Mother's Day than there is Father's Day. The mothers all have corsages on Mother's Day. They have new dresses and everybody's dressed up. Emotions are running high and there seems to be a whole lot more energy around Mother's Day than Father's Day. And that's good. I'm not whining. I'm not whining. I'm just making observations here. Okay? And it's good. We gather around Mom on Mother's Day and honor the hand that rocked the cradle. So what do we do on Father's Day? Emotions don't run quite as high. Merchants don't profit quite as much, except maybe Lowe's and Home Depot. I don't know. But the phone company profits on Father's Day. You see, the highest volume of calls of any day of the year is Mother's Day. But the highest volume of collect calls is on Father's Day. And that's true. You can look that up. So I don't know that the sentiment surrounding Father's Day, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because men, we have this stereotype as we're not quite as sentimental. Or maybe we're just not in touch with our children's sensitive needs as mother. I don't know. To illustrate the point, they tell a story about a gentleman who left the side of his bed's wife after she had delivered their first child. And so she got up later and trying to find her husband, she went downstairs and there in the nursery, she saw her husband. And her husband was standing there, he was gazing at this newborn child. And so she watched for probably 10, 15 minutes and he's just sitting there just staring at this child. And she was a little touched by that. She's thinking, "Wow, okay, this has made an impression." And so she quietly snuck up behind him and kind of slid her arm up into his and joined him and said, "Honey, what are you thinking?" And the husband says, I've been standing here and I can't figure out how in the world they're able to make a crib like this for $89.95. It's Father's Day, guys. It's Father's Day. It's a national celebration and it goes back to June 19th, 1924. President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed it would be Father's Day. But it all came about because of the efforts of a lady named Sonora Smart Dodd. Sonora was actually sitting in church in 1909, ironically enough, listening to a Mother's Day sermon. When she was touched by that, because her father had raised her. After her mother had died, her father had raised her, and she wanted to honor her father. Because her father was a wonderfully compassionate man. He was a selfless man. He had given up so many things and sacrificed for his daughter. And she wanted to honor him. And so she began kind of a lobbying effort to President Coolidge. And finally, the fruits of her labor were realized when in 1924 he proclaimed that the third Sunday of June would be Father's Day. And I'm glad. We've had it ever since, and I'm glad. It's a wonderful time of celebration. For many of you, it may be bittersweet because your fathers may have gone on to be with our Heavenly Father. And in that sense, I understand. But it's a wonderful time of celebration, and it gives us a chance to gather around the men in our lives who, for all the cliches, maybe who stood at the helm or gathered the team in the huddle or led the family into battle, whatever cliche you want to put out there. But it's a wonderful time of celebration. James Dobson, in his book, it's kind of a classic. It's called Dare to Discipline. And in that book, he makes an observation. He says, good fathers are made. They're not born. They're made. And he goes on to specify three things that fathers perhaps should keep in mind. And I thought it'd be helpful for us to get a reminder of this. The first thing Dobson says is that children oftentimes follow in the footsteps of their father. Now, granted, in the early years, the mother is the major influence in the life of a child. But he makes the observation that as the child grows on, the years begin to pass, things change a little. And many times the father becomes the example in attitude as well as in action. So like it or not, dads, we've got an example to set. An example to set about God, about church, about spiritual things that make an indelible impression upon the lives of our children. And that's a wonderful responsibility, but it is a responsibility. It's something that we can't pass on to something else or someone else. We need to step up and be that spiritual leader. Second observation that Dobson makes is that the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. And this goes back to the sermon on May 13th. We were talking about making the difference in our families. That sermon is available online if you missed it. But the observation was that loving our own flesh, loving our spouse, is probably the most important thing we do next to our relationship with God. And that's an important thing, especially in this day and time when family are being torn in all directions. Men, love your wife. Show your sons how to care for and love someone of the opposite sex. Show your daughter how she should expect to be cared for by her spouse someday. Paul tells the Ephesian husbands, and ultimately us too, to love their wives, quote, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If we could teach our children to live in that type of environment and lead by example and pass that on to them, what a blessing that would be to families. The third thing that he observes is that a Christian father will arrange to spend time with their children. Now, no matter how much we want to try to deny this, dads, we have quite a bit of time that's what we would call discretionary. And we've got to decide how we're going to spend that. And we have to make our children a priority in that. You know, ultimately, one of the biggest challenges we have in our culture is being a faithful husband and a devoted father. And again, it comes down to time. And I believe with all my heart that all of us as dads, we want to be good fathers. No matter what kind of example we may have had, we want to be good fathers. Amen? We need help with that. We need a model. We need someone that we can turn to, an example, someone to pattern ourselves after. And Roger, it's not you, but I love you, brother. It's not you. When we talk about the perfect father, that is what the sermon is on today. Okay? But I changed my mind. And Mary didn't get the word. I changed my mind and decided I was going to go with this passage of Scripture and this title. The perfect father. Maybe a close second. God's first. Our heavenly father. Amen? Our heavenly father. The perfect father. What do we know about God? And as it relates to his children. First of all, God loves his children. He loves his children. I could recite passages from now until lunch 30 about how much God loves us. Right? But I'm going to suffice to give you two of them. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he gave himself for us. Christ died for us. He didn't wait. He could have said, well, you need to meet my expectations first, then I'll love you. No. He didn't do that. He didn't wait for us to make him proud. He didn't wait for us to measure up to his standards. He just loved us. And he loved us first. God's love is complete. His love is constant. His love is unconditional. We can't earn it. We can't escape it. And we can't erase it. Now, he may get angry with us. He may get disappointed with us. He may be filled with sorrow when we fall short of what he hopes for us and dreams for us, just as we do the same thing with our children. But that does not change the fact that he always loves us unconditionally. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he said, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's unconditional. We cannot be separated from it. God loves his children. Second thing is that God encourages his children. There's a wonderful story that a psychologist wrote in one of the journals that I pulled up last week as I was preparing for the sermon. And the reason I connected with this story is because I know young people, I know children that have experienced exactly the same thing that this psychologist is telling happened to him as a child. He tells a story about as he entered grade school, how he flunked a math test. And so the teacher wrote a note to his parents. And he took it home, and the note said this: your son doesn't have an aptitude for mathematics. He just can't handle math. Well, his mom and dad, they sat him down and said, well, son, I guess you don't have an aptitude for math. That's what the teacher said. It must be true. So then he goes on to tell about the fact that he promptly goes on and flunks every math test that he took from that point. And he said, I couldn't do anything right in math because I didn't have an aptitude in mathematics. Then one day, the teacher put a problem up on the board, and all the kids are sitting there, and she asked the class to solve it, and everybody's sitting there scratching their head. And he looked at the board, and he realized, I know the answer to that. And so he raised his hand, and everyone in the class laughed because he didn't have an aptitude for mathematics. But the teacher said, well, come on up, I guess. And so he goes up to the chalkboard, and he solves the problem, and he sits back down. Then it occurred to him, he didn't have a lack of aptitude for mathematics. The problem was he had been told that he did not have an aptitude for mathematics, so therefore he believed it until he realized it was wrong. Now contrast that with how God, throughout Scripture, encouraged his children. For Moses, standing there at the burning bush, he told him to deliver the nation of Israel. He encouraged Joshua as Joshua was getting ready to set out on a seemingly impossible task of conquering the promised land. But not only did he encourage them with his words, he was there in his presence and his assistance. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you will go. God sees the things that his children can do. And he encourages us to go out and do them. Sadly, many parents, no matter how spiritual or conscientious, or we kind of fall in this trap sometimes where we lace our conversations with criticism instead of encouragement. That's a challenge to all of us. It's important to watch our words. It really is. Again, the Apostle Paul challenges us in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Beautiful words of encouragement for us to be encouragers. God loves his children. He encourages his children. Thirdly, God disciplines his children. Recently, I heard a story about a group of triplets. These were three boys, identical triplets, That sounds like a triple pack of fun, doesn't it? But they all got along great. They all got along. They saw everything. They were loyal to each other. They were like glue. If somebody got in trouble, one of the three of them, the others didn't squeal on them. And finally, a neighbor asked this father, said, how do you do it? I mean, how do you discipline these triplets? How do you decide who's the guilty party? And the father said, it's simple. Whenever they get in trouble, I just send all three of them to bed without supper. And then the next morning, I spank the one with the black eye. So, I don't know if that's an effective means for determining guilt all the time, but I do know something. I do know that God is good. And I do know that He is a loving Father. And I do know that He is a perfect Father. His intentions and His actions are never evil. They're never unloving. He disciplines His children, though. Yet He disciplines us. He does not discipline us in spite of His goodness. He disciplines us because of His goodness. He does not discipline us in spite of His love. He disciplines us because of His love. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5 says this, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Proverbs 3:12, the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. And from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, the man who disciplines his child wisely is reflecting the character of God. Discipline and disciple are the same root word. We discipline because we love our children. It teaches them responsibility. It teaches them that wrong action have negative consequences. It helps them to start living a path that pleases God. So finally, in the light of God's love, God's encouragement, and God's discipline, we fathers, we have to realize that we have a responsibility to bring up our children in the training and admonition or instruction of the Lord. I think if we acknowledge that, that we as fathers should develop a habit, a wonderful habit, of daily worship and teaching our children to do the same. And begin very young with them. Psalm 78 and the passage that the children gave us on the wonderful presence from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And other Bible passages, they talk about the fact that we should be teaching our children as we sit down and as we get up and as we walk along and as we lie down. We should be passing on from one generation to the next generation stories. The wonderful stories of our heritage. The instructions that God has given us to protect us, to keep us safe. We're supposed to be passing those on to our children. Fathers, passing to the next generation, the generation following. Now, we can do it in one of several ways. We can do it in wrong ways. We can do it in right ways. J.B. Phillips, in this book, Your God is Too Small, talks about what happens sometimes when they're passed on in the wrong way. And he talks about what happens when they're passed on in the correct way. I highly recommend that book. Very short, small book, a wonderful read, Your God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips. But there's also a parable that tells of three different fathers. And each of them really had a desire to pass on to his child the heritage, teaching the responsibility, teaching his child about God. The first father felt the responsibility. He thought, what an awesome responsibility I have. But he took his child by the hand and went down the pathway of life. And they came into the forest. And as they went into the forest, they saw these huge trees. And he looked at his child and said, see those trees? God created those magnificent things. But he can also throw them to the ground at any time he wants. And as they walked out into the sunlight, into the field, he said, you see that sun up there? Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, it's beautiful. But God can make it so hot that he could burn up this whole field if he wanted to. I need you to understand, child. just what kind of power God has. And again, he hammered home the power of God and how the child needed to be obedient to God. Then one day the child and the father came face to face with God, and the child hid behind the father because he was afraid. He refused to put his hand into the hand of God. The second father also realized his responsibility to teach his child about God. And he knew that there was so much to teach and so little time. So he hurried. He hurried along, took the child by the hand, and hurried through the forest. Said, yeah, aren't the trees great? Yeah, come on, we got to keep moving. Got out into the field, said, look at the flowers. Oh, yeah, they're pretty. Let's keep moving. We got so much to learn and so little time. I've got so much to teach. And he filled the child full of facts and statistics. But he never taught the child how to live and how to love God. And finally, one day at twilight, they came face to face with God. And the child looked at God and said, hey, good to see you. Got things to do. See you. Busy. Things to do. Places to go. The third father felt the touch of a tender hand in his, so he adjusted his steps to the tiny steps of the child. And they walked along, stopping to look along the way. God's beauty and grandeur. He saw the trees. He said, aren't they magnificent? And they walked out into the field and they saw the flowers. They reached down. They felt at the delicate petals. And they smelled the flowers together. And they watched the bird as it came by in flight and watched it till it went into the trees. They followed it into the trees and they watched it light on a limb there and began building a nest. And they marveled at all of creation. And as they were walking, the father told the child stories about God. Insights, things he had learned about God, his heavenly Father. And finally, one day they came into the twilight and they encountered God. And the child, without hesitation, reached over and grabbed God's hand and walked hand in hand with her heavenly Father and earthly Father. You say, Raymond, that's a nice touchy-feely story. What's the point? The point is that God's love is the basis for how we love, for how we encourage, for how we discipline, and for how we teach. Fathers, it's an awesome responsibility, but it's a wonderful responsibility. Amen? It's wonderful. I don't know if you have a relationship with the God, the Heavenly Father, the perfect Father that I've been speaking of. If you don't, I can't think of a better day to receive Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with the God who created you and loves you unconditionally. If you're not a believer, I'd be glad to share with you how you can have that relationship with God. If you are a believer and maybe you're a little discouraged, that's maybe you're thinking, oh man, it's a good day. It's a good day. God loves you. He's going to encourage you. We're going to encourage you. If you need to square things away with God, you're welcome to do that at your pew. If you need to confess some things, if you need to make some things right today, it's a wonderful day to do it. Whatever your decision is, maybe you'd like to join this fellowship. We love each other. We encourage one another. We try to do all those things. And we'd be glad to welcome you and to tell you how you can be a part of this fellowship as well. Whatever your decision is this morning, I want to invite you to make that public. For the simple fact, if it's a time for celebration, if it's something extremely private and you'd like to talk about it later, feel free to give me a call. But if you'd like to make that decision public, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I invite you to go home this afternoon and call your father, not collect, okay? Fantastic. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Dear Father, we thank you for the instruction from your word on how we can have a stronger relationship with one another and with you. Father, we thank you for your love, the unconditional nature of your love. We pray that we would love each other in the same manner. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.